Chapter 5.
Who's the letter from, Carter?
Valerie asked.
You look troubled.
It's from the Ancient Order of the Nile. I hope the fucking thing's not laced with poison or anything like that.
It wouldn't have been able to enter this place if it was.
The woman reminded me as she walked over to my side.
Naomi's spell would have prevented it from entering the building altogether.
The were-turtle woman was right. Naomi's hex not only prevented people with insidious intentions from entering Cincy's jewel, but it also kept out physical objects that could do harm, too. Just like Toby's car, which got smashed like it ran into an invisible wall before it got anywhere close to the building. This letter was clean, but that only seemed to raise even more questions. The AON had just tried to kill me, now they send me a letter via mail? I opened up the envelope and pulled out the piece of plain printer paper that was inside, and then I unfolded the note and looked it over. It appeared to be handwritten by somebody with very fine, clean, cursive writing, and it looked to be about a page long. Dear Mr. Hatfield, I began to read the note aloud. First and foremost, the Ancient Order of the Nile wishes to offer you our deepest condolences should the action of our rogue brothers have caused you any loss. If not, then wonderful. We have known about you for some time, Carter Hatfield, but we swore as an organization to remain neutral during your conflict with our beloved Keck. Though we know our Lord of Chaos will emerge victorious against all who oppose him, we did not believe it to be our best course of action to get involved in a religious war. We offer our sincerest apologies for the ambush that was planned and executed, and we assure you it was done by rogue actors and does not reflect the views and opinions of the Ancient Order of the Nile.
Whoever wrote this letter definitely studied public relations,
Valerie snorted. Please accept this symbolic olive branch in the form of an invitation, Mr. Hatfield, I went on. The Ancient Order of the Nile has its biannual confluence of the mind next Saturday at 571 East Rockefeller Road, Chicago, Illinois, and we hope to see you there.
They're inviting you to a party?
Val scoffed.
Right after they tried to kill you?
You heard the letter, I said with a shrug. They're claiming the attack was coordinated by rogue members of their organization. I guess this is just their way of apologizing?
It's got to be a trap.
I'm not so sure about that. My invisible eye isn't alerting me to any danger right now, so maybe it's legit.
You can't seriously be considering going,
Val said and frowned. Oh, definitely not. I chuckled as I set the letter down on a nearby chair. One, there's too many potential dangers associated with going to a party hosted by men who literally worship my enemy. Two, I'm not going to drive all the way up to Chicago just for some sappy apology from people I don't give two shits about. And three, the members of the AON sound like a bunch of snooty rich assholes, and that's not really my crowd.
We should tell the others,
the were-turtle continued.
At least we can see if they have a better understanding on the situation.
There's no rush, I said with a smirk, as I plopped down on the leather couch in my office and then patted the empty space beside me. Come over here and relax for a little while. I'm sure you're just as exhausted as I am.
You did most of the work,
Val winked.
But I'll indulge you.
Get over here before I lay down and take up the whole couch, I said through a yawn.
Ah, fuck, I was tired. Valerie's wide hips sashayed back and forth through her tight pants as she walked over to me. And then she turned around and plopped down right on my lap. Her brown hair was still ruffled and messy from our sexual escapades, though I could smell the sweet scent of her shampoo as I leaned in and kissed the top of her head. Her tight ass pressed up against my manhood, and if I hadn't been so frickin' exhausted from my long day, I might have just tried to go another round. Instead, Val simply laid her head back against my chest, and then we both laid down on the leather couch as I stroked her hair and delicate cheeks. My enhanced hearing seemed to pick up her heartbeat as we cuddled close, and I noticed it was very calm and rhythmic. Thank goodness. The last time we'd gotten hot and heavy, Valerie had turned into a were-turtle and tried to kill me. But it seemed like she was at peace right now. With the beautiful woman in my arms, I felt my own heartbeat soften until I finally drifted off to sleep. And when my eyes finally fluttered back open, I heard something I wasn't used to hearing in Cincy's jewel. Silence. Valerie was still passed out against my chest, so I simply tried to crane my neck and get a peek at the clock on the wall without disturbing her. And I saw it was 4 a.m. Damn, we must have been more tired than I'd originally thought.
Hey, Val,
I whispered to the woman on my chest, whose emerald eyes fluttered open at my voice.
We took a really long nap. Is you already going to be angry that you're not in your dorm?
She'll get over it,
Valerie mumbled.
Leah and Becca and I always stay out late, and the RA always gets mad at me like that'll change anything.
Still, I said as we both sat up. We probably shouldn't just crash on the couch for an entire night. That would be killer on the back.
I wonder if everybody went home for the night.
Val pondered aloud before she stood up and stretched.
Your lounge closes at what? 3?
We close at 3. But there's no way all our employees are done with their jobs for the night. 3 is just our cutoff time for alcohol.
We almost always have people hanging out
for an hour or so after that, and then the employees have to close up everything, which takes an hour in and of itself. I'd almost bet money there's still people out in the lobby when we get out there. The two of us stretched out our exhausted muscles for a few more seconds before I snatched up the envelope and headed for the door. If any of my other friends were still around Cincy's Jewel, I wanted to make sure I showed them what the AON had sent me. Then again, I wouldn't blame them if they decided to clear out for the night. It was super late, and they were surely all just as exhausted as Valerie and I had been. The Were-Turtle and I shuffled out of my office before we headed down the hallways in the back of the house area of the lounge, where a handful of random employees moved about as they rubbed their tired eyes. Finally, we exited out into the main room of the lounge, and I couldn't help but smile when I saw my friends were all still there. Most of them were passed out in the booth, of course, but nobody had left. Naomi was doubled over on the table with her head buried in her arms, and her leather-clad body heaved in short, quick breaths as she snoozed away. Janine was right next to Naomi in the booth, though the redhead was leaning back against the back of her seat, and her mouth hung open as she laid there completely splayed out and limp like a rag doll. Becca, the platinum blonde woman who acted as our accountant and the best friend of both Valerie and Leah, had her head leaned against Janine's shoulder. Her blue eyes were closed, and her thin lips hung open as she snored away, and I heard Valerie chuckle at the scene. Somehow, Leah and Ada were both still awake, and the two women talked in whispers to Tony and Paul, who must have joined the party at some point during the proceedings.
Have a good nap, loves?
Ada asked in a knowing tone, and she flashed me a wink. Sure did, I said with a wide grin. I feel totally refreshed and ready to take on the whole OLG myself.
I wish I could say the same for myself, boss. You didn't think working from 8 to 4 6 days a week would make me used to being up late, but my old body's still pissed off about it.
I don't want to hear it.
Paul rolled his eyes.
I'm nearly 20 years older than you, and I feel spry as a newborn fawn. Old body my ass.
That's because you're pretty much a zombie at this point, my friend.
Tony joked.
Shambling corpses don't need to rest at all.
Yeah, funny.
Paul responded without changing his facial expression from its usual scowl.
You're a regular Rodney Dangerfield over there.
I hate to burst up a bit of playful banter. I sighed as I held up the letter. But we've got some problems.
What kinds of problems?
Ada's face fell into a frown. Ancient Order of the Nile problems, I explained, and then I opened up the letter and laid it out on the table in front of my friends.
Should we wake them up?
Leah asked as she pointed between the three passed-out women at the table. We can fill them in later. And actually, I really don't think we should let Becca hear what we're about to say either. I motioned for my friends to follow me over to another table, so we all left the sleeping women to lie.
Is something up with the dizzy one?
Paul asked in a gruff voice.
Not her,
I said in a somewhat hushed tone. It's about her father.
Let me guess. Rich white dude who has more money than he knows what to do with, divorced since his 30s, lives in a place that's pretty damn nice, but doesn't exactly let people know how fucking loaded he is, but still has a fuck ton of sports cars. Or motorcycles. Or one of those rich people hobbies that schmucks like me can't afford.
That's pretty accurate,
Val admitted.
Though I wouldn't say Mr. Bartram is rich, exactly.
Is Sleeping Beauty over there paying for her school at all?
Paul asked as he pointed to Becca.
Well, no,
the brunette noted.
And does he have nice cars or motorcycles or shit like that?
He drives a Durango,
Val continued.
I mean, it's a newer model, but...
No other rich guy hobbies, though?
He does have a couple of boats at his lake house,
Valerie muttered.
He has a fucking lake house?
Paul snorted as a sly grin spread across his face.
With boats, as in plural? Whoo! Rich boy with a spoiled daughter. Totally called it.
We think he's a member of the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus, a cult-like society that worships the son of Bast.
Is that who the letter's from?
Tony asked.
I told my bouncers not to even give that guy the time of day, but they weren't listening.
That's the strange part. The letter is from the Ancient Order of the Nile.
Another occult organization? How many of those fucking things are around this city?
Way more than you'd think, love.
Ada confirmed, and then her green eyes looked over me.
Why would they send a letter to you?
They wanted to apologize for what happened earlier today. I guess it's technically yesterday now. They claim it was a small sect of their radical members who attacked Janine, Naomi, and I, and that they have no quarrel with me or any of you guys.
An apology?
Leah scoffed as she read over the letter.
What a load of shit. And they want to invite you to one of their parties as if they didn't just try to murder you in the streets?
Sounds like a trap to me, boss, Tony admitted.
That's what I thought at first, too, but my invisible eye isn't warning me of any danger.
Perhaps they are concealed from your invisible eye,
Ada suggested.
Newt was able to walk right past Naomi's hex, and he was also a follower of Keck.
One thing's for sure,
Leah mused.
Whether it's actually a trap or not, it would be pretty foolish to actually accept their invitation, right?
I mean, I trailed off as I tried to think of the right words to say. Maybe?
You can't possibly be serious, Carter.
Leah gasped, and her blue eyes widened.
These people are our enemies. They've tried to kill us multiple times, and they turned Valerie into a were-turtle.
You know the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer? I think that applies to this situation right now.
Perhaps you're right,
Ada interjected.
The ancient Order of the Nile may worship an enemy deity, but that might be all the more reason to try and take up their offer. If we could somehow get inside information about Keck or Khonsu, it would be extremely helpful in the long run.
You want my advice?
Paul asked, even though I knew he was going to give it to us whether we said yes or no.
I'd start with the devil you already know. The ditzy girl's father's already on our side, isn't he?
If he really is in the Brotherhood, then most likely, I answered with a nod. Though, for all we know, Neferta might have some secret vendetta against his mother. All these ancient Egyptian deities' relationships are complicated.
There's no way Becca's father would hurt us.
Val shook her head.
Even if he was somehow working with an enemy organization, he's always treated Leia and I like his own daughters.
Paul and Val were right. Even though I wasn't 100% sure about either of these occult groups, it was clear trying to talk to Becca's father was the safer of the two options for now. Then again, none of us knew much about either of these organizations. Whichever one we decided to reach out to, we were currently flying blind, and that was not a place I wanted to be. We'll start with the Brotherhood, then, I said with a nod. More specifically, Becca's father. But I want to see if we can learn more about the Brotherhood first.
A trip to Hansen's office is in order, I'd presume?
Leah suggested with a half smirk. Most likely. He's got more occult knowledge than all of us combined. If anybody can help us out, it's him.
Maybe I should go along.
Paul chuckled as he cracked his knuckles.
I'm sure the professor would love to see me again.
Actually, he'd probably file a restraining order on you at this point.
He's at least told campus security to warn him if they see you.
Leah added.
There's no way Hansen wants to be anywhere near you or Tony ever again.
I honestly couldn't blame the guy. The last time Dr. Hansen had come to Cincy's Jewel and met my two top security guards, they'd beat the shit out of him, tied him up, and locked him in their trunk.
Aww, Paul smirked. I wanted to see how that bruise under his right eye is holding up.
We don't need this to be any more complicated than it already is. Janine and I will go.
I work at the lab tomorrow,
Leah interjected.
I might as well come along too.
I guess the big question is whether or not you think we can trust Becca's dad, I said as I looked between Val and Leah.
He wouldn't hurt us, Carter,
Val repeated.
I bet my life on it. Mr. Bartram is a wonderful man.
What's going on over here?
Becca's voice suddenly said from a few feet away.
Are you having a team meeting without me?
My heart fell into my chest as I looked over and saw the platinum blonde woman walking toward us as she rubbed her eyes. How much had she heard? Her heartbeat was fairly normal at the moment, so she wasn't in any state of distress or suspicious of anything.
It is quite early,
Ada lied.
We didn't want to wake you, love.
I very clearly heard my last name,
Becca said through a yawn.
I might be a heavy sleeper, but my ears can always recognize the sound of my name, even from a deep sleep. It's how I've been able to get away with sleeping in class so much these last few years.
Fuck. So she had heard that we were talking about her father. Now the only question was just how much she actually knew.
Oh, we weren't talking about you.
Leah half lied.
I promise.
Becca stopped in her tracks and her bushy blonde eyebrows rose as her lips twisted into a frown. Then the hazel-eyed woman tilted her head to the side and crossed her arms across her chest before she let out a long sigh.
Don't lie to me, Leah,
she grumbled.
I've known you for long enough to know when you're bullshitting me. Val, what were we all talking about?
Nothing that concerns you, Becca,
Valerie said in the most mother-like tone I'd ever heard.
Don't worry about it.
Seriously?
Becca huffed and crossed her arms.
You too? I know I heard my name, and I'm not going to just let that go. Were you talking about me behind my back?
No!
Val gasped.
We're your friends, Becca, and we would never do such a thing. I promise it's nothing that important.
Then why did I hear the name Bartram?
The platinum blonde woman pressed further.
There's something you're not telling me. We were just shooting the shit.
Leah lied.
That's all.
I tell you what, Paul said as he took a step toward Becca. You're obviously real tired and aren't thinking straight, so why don't I walk you outside and call you an Uber back to campus?
What?
Becca scoffed.
No, why are you trying to send me away? I just want to know.
Oh, come on,
the old man said again as he reached to put his hand on Becca's shoulder.
You don't need to worry.
Before he could finish his sentence, Becca twisted her body around and grabbed onto Paul's outstretched arm. In one swift motion, she pulled the old man toward her, spun him around, and then pressed his arm up behind his back as she pinned him against a nearby table.
I'm not going anywhere,
she repeated.
Not until you tell me what's going on.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Tony sputtered. Did Becca just get the drop on Paul?
Where did you learn how to do that?
Val asked as her eyes narrowed at her friend.
That's none of your business,
Becca grumbled.
Now please tell me what's going on.
Nothing,
Leah said in a pleading tone.
You're making a big deal out of nothing right now, Beck. Don't pull that shit with me, Leah,
the platinum blonde woman retorted.
I know I'm just the dumb blonde of the group, but I'm not as stupid as everyone thinks I am.
Could you let go of my arm, sweetheart?
Paul asked with a frown.
This can't be any good for my arthritis.
Becca rolled her eyes before she let go of Paul and took a step back. Meanwhile, the old man stood straight up, cracked his back, and then opened and closed his fist a few times.
Now, why are you talking about me?
Becca repeated. I had to think of something fast. I didn't want to just come right out and say I thought her father was a member of a cult that worshipped an ancient Egyptian deity, but I also didn't want to upset the woman. Ada had a business proposition, I lied. That's all. For your father.
My father?
Becca raised an eyebrow.
Her father?
Val said in a disgruntled tone, and she shot me a look.
Mr. Bartram, the carpenter?
Shit. Maybe this was going to be a tougher sell than I originally thought. Well, yeah. I started to bullshit my way through the situation. Have you seen the state of Ada's club? It's got plenty of renovations that need to be done, and we need a top-notch carpenter. Plus, we're starting to talk about expanding into other locations, so we'll need somebody who can be in charge of all of the carpentry work once those open up.
That's right,
Ada added.
We've heard great things about your father, love, and we think he'd be a perfect business partner.
You've heard about my father's work?
Becca asked, and the suspicion hadn't left her face.
He's been retired for a few years now. We told him about your dad's work.
Leah continued to pile onto the fib.
Val and I have seen it firsthand, and we figured this might be a good enough opportunity that he'd consider picking up the hammer again and coming out of retirement to help us.
We simply didn't know how to broach the subject with you,
Val added.
That's all.
Yeah, sure,
Paul huffed as he continued to ball up his hand.
Yeah, fuck. This woman's got a grip like a fucking roided out gorilla.
That's it?
Becca ignored Paul's comment and frowned.
That's it,
Leah repeated.
I promise, we're not lying, Becca. Carter and Ada just wanted to set up a meeting with your dad to talk business, but they wanted to wait until the right time to tell you. Oh.
The platinum blonde's frown twisted up into a smile.
Well, why didn't you wake me up sooner? To tell you the truth, Dad's had a bit too much free time on his hands since retiring, and a job like this would be perfect for getting him out of the house every now and then. Well, I guess he does go out with his friends from the bowling league every now and then, but other than that, he just hangs around our old home.
Bowling league? I asked, and I strongly suspected this was just a cover for her father's cultist activities. It sounds like your dad does stay pretty busy in his retirement.
Not really,
Becca said with a shrug.
He only sees them once a month, and they're always out until the wee hours of the morning. I've tried to see if they'd let me go with them sometime, but they're really adamant about it being a boys-only sort of thing.
Totally sounds like a boys' club. I chuckled, and then I coyly asked the million-dollar question. Next thing, you'll tell me they all have the same matching tattoos or something.
Are you psychic?
Becca gasped.
They do have matching tattoos, and it's flowers, of all things.
Bingo. My friends and I all shared excited glances as the realization set in. If there was any doubt in our minds that Becca's father was a member of the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus, that had just been completely squashed. People do some strange end-of-life crisis shit in their old age. No offense, Paul.
Love you too, boss.
Paul snickered as he playfully gave me the finger.
So, does that sound like a plan, love?
Ada asked.
Could we meet your father to discuss our business propositions? The sooner the better.
Of course!
Becca clapped and let out a giggle.
He's going to be so excited to have a new project on his plate. Thank you so much, Carter.
No problem, I smirked. You know we'd do anything for one of our friends.
Well, I suppose that settles all that,
Paul said as he stretched out his back.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm about to conk out right here at the bar, so I'm going to go drive home and take a long nap and a warm shower. Maybe that'll make me forget I just got my ass handed to me by a girl. A girl who took me by surprise, of course, but still. I'm going home, too, if you don't mind. Unless there was something else, boss.
I think we're good here. I nodded to my chief of security. I'll see you guys when we open back up later today.
Come on, Becca.
Val said as she approached her friend.
Let me drive you back to the dorms.
Are you going to be okay to drive?
Leah frowned.
I just took a major power nap.
The brunette responded.
I'll be fine. My nice, warm bed is calling my name right now anyway.
Just be careful, I said to the were-turtle as she and Becca turned and began to walk away. The path ahead of us was as unclear and as muddled as it ever had been, but one thing was for certain. We needed to know more about the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus before we talked to Becca's father. And the only person who would be able to help out on that front was Dr. Hansen. We had a long day ahead of us.